And we are back. Black and a Half, episode number 254. Welcome. My name is Silas Lindenstein.
My name is Samantha Rund.
And this is the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle. Probably. Today's episode, we tell the story of our first outing together in person.
Yes, in years.
Quite a bit.
Yeah.
It is a tale of pickles and a tale of balls.
Yeah, I was going to say that and thought that just doesn't sound right.
It didn't come out right. Of course, you're talking about the Seattle area's number one sport.
I wasn't going to call out the actual place, but yeah, Seattle's sport of pickleball.
Yeah, the pickleball sport started in Seattle. Well, in Bainbridge Island.
Mm-hmm.
So we have a tale of that, of us trying out pickleball together somewhere. And again, that discussion about that, I tell the tale of the 9-volt battery, something to behold. And we talk about smut.
Stand-up comedy, too.
Yeah. Smutty stand-up comedy. No, we don't. We talk, those are separate topics, but
they are.
Smut and
yeah.
stand-up comedy. So it's a variety show. But always just glad to be here. Right?
It's a good time. It is.
Good
yeah.
times.
It is a good time. That's
good
right.
Good times. Holding together. Ooh, yeah. And of course, I think I'm going to give a heads up to people. If you're listening. That I'm going to be dropping my rap song.
What?
Real soon. It's all mastered and recorded. And the plan was to drop it in a couple weeks. And I've just learned I got educated on modern releasing of music now. Is not just because I am a nobody. It's a little different than Aerosmith dropping an album now. They can just drop an album.
Mm-hmm.
I need to give snippets of this song out and just have that out in different ways for a couple weeks and then drop the song to build the momentum.
Well, I'm excited. Momentum. That was a glitch in the
should
system.
The
momentum.
Should I announce on here, even though it's probably going to already come out before this airs, but I could tell you the name of the song.
Do.
It's called Call Me a Nerd. I mean, could you imagine a more fitting title for me for a rap song? As I venture into the nerdcore realm.
Yeah.
Nerdcore rap.
I should really understand what a nerd is after spending so much time with you.
And, but it's like the more you learn, the less you know.
It's like I still am a little bit unclear as to what a nerd is. There's a vibe of nerd.
It's a vibe. I'm a whole vibe.
It's a vibe tribe of nerddoms.
Me and Bad Bunny, we're vibes. I'm just a vibe. Folks, so yeah, that's going to be dropping in a couple weeks, so you might start hearing a little tune. What people don't realize is that prior to this new soundtrack, the intro music which you're about to listen to, prior to that, the instrumental music, the little rap, the little hip-hop playing song, that was actually the track that I use for my rap. I just been borrowing it in here because it's original. So before we transitioned out of it, so now it's actually going to be made into the song that it was created for. So fun fact. So the beat technically aired on Black and a Half first.
That's dope.
Yeah. It's kind of cool. So So watch for that. Watch out for that. Watch for the news. Watch out for Samantha. Watch her videos. Watch her. She's going viral any second.
Oh, thanks, Silas.
Right.
It could happen, right? I've been getting some stuff going on.
You are getting more and more views. It just takes, the more,
You know, it's a percentage. It is so nice of you to notice, Silas.
Yeah.
Just thank you.
I hit like when I remember.
Thank you.
Just give it a like. Folks, give it a like. Just always give it a like. If you see something, you like it, just remember to give it a like. It doesn't help them unless you give it a like. You might like it, but you need to show them you like it and show Facebook you like it. Then they'll send it out to
comment,
other people.
Comment. I want to hear your thoughts. Like, as long as they're nice.
Comments help even more. People have no idea the power they hold.
Oh my gosh. It's so true in terms of like.
If they comment on something on Facebook, it helps makes, so much.
But also too, just in terms of like, oh, that feels so nice. One of my friends, she told me, I mean, actually somebody I knew from college a long time ago, but anyway, she was like, I love seeing all of your reels. And I was like, oh, that's so sweet. I had no idea she was watching them and or that she liked them. So it's just a nice little, okay, I'll make another.
Every once in a while, I get a text or my brother will text me about something we said. I'm like, oh.
Yeah.
Sometimes I'm like, I recorded that a couple weeks ago, so I'm like, what's he talking about?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, okay, yeah. I just dropped the podcast. It's from that.
Yeah.
So. Sweet. All right, folks, sit back, relax, open your hearts, open your ear holes, and listen to episode 254 of Black and a Half.
Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle, probably. Yes, this is Black and a Half, hosted by Silas Lindenstein and Samantha Rund. Black and a
Half. I'm going to try during this episode. I have what you can't see, Samantha, is I set up a new monitor so that I can see you. Like, I usually can see you, but I have to kind of look down to see you.
Oh, okay.
Now I set it to the eye level with the camera.
Nice.
Except I know there's one down here.
So that's probably distracting.
And I'm trying not to. I'm like, I don't want to look at that one.
I'm going to just do something here and something there and try to.
No. But it's just that the computer monitor is way better of a monitor.
Yeah.
So. It makes me realize when you don't have like as high quality of equipment or things that you're projecting, like it can be your eye just goes to what the better quality is. Like, oh, that's a better quality. And that's probably something to think about for, I don't know.
Definitely.
Marketing or something.
Right.
But I wanted to ask you.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Okay.
So a couple weeks ago, me and you saw each other live and in person.
Oh, right. Yes, we did.
To play pickleball, the well-known African-American sport.
Well-known.
Well-known. Well-known.
Pickleball spirituals.
Yeah.
Just so wrong. Like, just.
That would be a treat, actually. We went to the, so there's, you sent it to me. This diversity.
That's right, diversity and inclusion. Because when I mentioned that I'd
before
done pickleball,
that's canceled,
play pickleball for the first time, you're like, "You like pickleball?" And I was like, "Yeah." So it was like, "Oh no, we need to play this sometime." And then surprisingly, it happened quicker. I wish that everything that I said, I'd like to do that. This needs to happen. That it would happen with such speed.
Yeah, you need to say like, "I need, I want." I need to make $1 million.
I was going to say $1 million too.
Yeah.
Well, Silas,
it'll show up.
The two of us are saying it on the air and everything's wishing it for us. So this is going to happen.
Probably real.
$2 million, one for me, one for you. All right.
Okay. So we go to this thing and there's not set the stage. It's a cloudy day, a little rainy.
Yeah.
Right.
I wasn't even going to say where, because on the off chance that either of these people are listening, I wasn't going to say what the pickleball place was, because on the off chance either of them were listening, they might not have known we were talking about them, but now they would know.
Because I said rain?
Because you said the name of the event.
Oh, okay. Whatever. All right. Anyway.
We're not going to say what week.
Right.
Okay.
So we go to this thing.
Yes.
And, it wasn't a big show out, but there was a couple guys there.
Right. It seemed like it was going to be big.
Of the dozen or so people that were there, we end up playing with these couple dudes there. And I don't know when the last time I was consciously aware of mansplaining happening to somebody. But, oh my God, it's quite a sight to see it when you're an aware person to watching it unfold. Now, did you feel, I had a question, did you feel like, because the man, okay, so you're learning football, and so am I. I'm learning too. Yes. I just had played a couple times before, and I think I researched the rules a bit. I had a racket.
Yes, I showed up without one, thinking it would be supplies. Lucky for me, Silas had a spare one. I know. I'm like, oh, do.
What did you feel like? Did you say something to invite?
Yes, I was going to say, in all fairness, before we go on more of this discussion, I will say, in all fairness, I did announce, I am new at this. I don't really know what I'm doing. So if you'd like me to follow the rules, feel free to tell me what to do and where to go, which generally is not the best idea to tell a man under any circumstance to let you know where he wants you to go.
Yes.
Yes.
And then you proceeded to just start getting instructions about all of pickleball, like, and not just how to swing the racket, but how, like, strategy to use and what, like, every rule. I just felt like I'm just listening and going, partly, well, besides the mansplaining-ish aspect of it, I was just like, how are you trying to teach somebody about this sport by inundating him with every piece of strategic information and the rules and everything all at once? It just seemed like, do you all know how to teach people anything?
It was a lot. I mean, being a little bit too gracious perhaps, but I think he was just so excited to have a human, perhaps a human woman. I think he was just so excited to have somebody say, hey, can you tell me what to do? I don't know how to play this, because he had a lot of information to share. So I feel like it was coming from a good place. I think there were two moments that really bothered me. If you're listening, sorry, dude. But two moments that bothered me. One was when I missed and I did not hit over the net. You know, I either hit it too far or I didn't hit it over the net. Obviously, I knew it was not a good, like, I knew that that wasn't how you play.
Right.
And he just comes up to me and he's like, see that? What? That wasn't good. You need to hit it. Like, that wasn't, and I'm like, what? That's what really bothered me. And then there was another moment where he was trying to teach me about the swing, which actually I didn't think about it. Also, too, because when you play tennis, you are going to play tennis a little bit differently than you play pickleball, which the next time I played pickleball, a woman told me, she also had played tennis in the past, that typically with a tennis, you're going to go behind to get like a big swing. But like with the pickleball, you come closer, you come like into it.
Oh,
and
okay.
I haven't played it in so long that I guess some of it was still a little muscle memory or something. I don't know. But at any rate, there was a moment where he was like going to tell me about the swing, but he actually approached me and it was like close enough to where I was like, oh my goodness, is he going to do like the golf swing or like the bowling ball thing where he tries to come up behind me and like hold me as he does it? There was a moment of like an actual like, is that what you're thinking? I hope you're not thinking. And I got like really still and really stiff. And I think he saw that moment.
I think I saw that moment.
Didn't it look like he was going to come in to do
yes.
that? I'm like, oh, hell no, in my head.
Yeah. Like, oh, let me just show you. Let me just give you this. That would have been such a play a move. Oh my God. I would have jumped over and shook his hand. Like, that
I mean, if he were really hot, I would have. Gosh, again, I never want to be mean. Like, I don't think I could be a roast comedian.
If that was Thor, I don't think you would have.
Oh my God. If it
from
was
knowing Thor, you.
No. Well, if it was the first time I met him, no, probably not. Yes,
no, I don't mean
knowing me.
Actual Chris Hemsworth. I mean, like, a Chris Hemsworth kind of person. Like, I don't think you're comfortable with somebody just walking up behind you and.
Yeah, I probably, Idris Elba came into the restaurant I was working at in Beverly Hills one time. Yeah. I don't know if you heard that story. And I was I was standing next to one of my coworkers, and my inclination was like, oh my God. I was like saying under my breath, don't sit at my table, don't sit at my table, don't sit at my table. And he was like, what is wrong with you? And I'm like, I'm gonna get nervous and spill water all over him. Like, I don't want him to sit at my table.
That's hilarious. So
I like to think that I would have leaned in. So if you're out there, hot pickleball guy, not this one, sorry, if you're listening, you're great, but I'm not talking about you. Thank you for the information. But if hot pickleball guy is out there and he wants to
see, but okay, but then doesn't that, isn't that kind of mixed messaging then? Because then people are like, well, what if I am hot pickleball guy?
I think you'll know, because
mansplaining doesn't work.
Instead of like staring at Silas, like, oh my goodness, are you seeing this? I would maybe just like move a little bit closer.
Oh,
like,
you would have gave some signs.
Move a little bit closer, not.
Yeah. Well, I actually talk about this also in coaching, which I talk about the moments when somebody, like, when a kid kicks the ball out, or like, you know, they run up to kick it and then they whiff or they barely kick it. I always tell the coaches, like, don't say, hey, oh, no. What I say is, kid comes up, kicks it, it flies way off. And the coach goes, you kicked that too hard. And I go, you don't think he knows? He already lost the ball. So what happened is, you feel bad the kid felt bad the first time they kicked it out, and then they feel bad again because you brought it up. Like, it's an obvious, like, we all know what happened. You don't have to bring it up. You don't need to. But some people just can't help themselves.
No, and I really do think that that guy was just really, I mean, jokes aside, I feel like he really genuinely was really happy to get to share this knowledge with somebody who wanted to hear it.
Yeah.
And I did get some really good tips from him. And then when I would have a good volley for a while, he actually would notice that too. He wasn't just like, you missed it. Let me show you with my masculinity of the things I know.
So now I got to see that. Is that a thing? How often does that type of thing happen?
To me?
Yeah.
With people mansplaining?
Yeah.
Or people trying to come up behind me and
no, the mansplaining part. Mansplaining part.
Oh gosh. I mean, it happens, and
do you presume anytime a guy comes up to give you advice, does that come across as mansplaining?
No. I think mansplaining is when people act like, it's like they tell you something. Well, okay. Ooh, I think mansplaining is often telling a woman something that they know and that they think they don't know, or they say it in a way that's a little bit like, it's insulting of their intelligence. But that's where the thing with this guy, it was a little bit nuanced in the sense that I specifically said, I don't know, please tell me.
Right.
But he just took it too far. And then at certain times he told me things that I did know. But yeah, I'm giving him the benefit of the doubt. But anyway.
Because sometimes, you know what, it's fun. Okay. So my buddy Jack.
Yeah.
Ballard, this was a funny moment. We were at when Laughs Comedy Club had moved to U District, and we were, not everybody was going there yet, but you know, some comics were, and some,
yeah,
Jack was a regular host there. Mm-hmm. So was I, right? And we knew the way one of the owners, Dave Dennison, liked people to do as hosts, like types of jokes to do, like, you know, as a host you shouldn't do this, host you should do that. But he didn't like, sometimes Dave didn't want to tell the women how to do it, because he thought it would come off wrong, like, and he didn't want to seem like he's a creeper.
Yeah.
Like, so he would just ask us, like, he'd be like, so what, this one time there was a host up there kind of bombing a little bit, I would say.
Okay.
Not doing well as a host.
Yeah.
And after the first show, because I think there was a two-show night, or it was like a mic where we were going up, I don't know. Anyway, Dave told Jack, go tell her how I want, how I like the hosting to be, just to like, give her tips on stuff. So he proceeded to go over. So he went over and sat down like, hey, you know, and started chatting with her about, and she was like nodding and listening like, okay, yeah. And then she proceeds to get up and start saying, so this guy came up and started mansplaining me how to host here. And he's like, what the fuck? Okay, well, fine. Die up. And so then proceeded to do what she had been doing the first time. And like,
And okay. she didn't know that that was coming from the top.
I don't, maybe not. And maybe Jack could have clarified that more.
Yeah, it depends how.
But Jack, I think it was clear that Jack was a regular host there, and that there was a way of that they like to do things there. Like, I mean, I think if you were aware, if you kind of watched how hosts are, they kind of do the same things there because we're instructed to.
Right.
Like, there's or what you feel like, and all the notes he gave her were so valid that if you actually went and typed in, what should a host of a comedy show do? Those would pop up in every article about it. Would be limit your swearing, make sure, you know, get them clapping in the beginning. This is the kind of you know, stay away from crowd work, different kind of things, right? Like this is the basic to be a better host. Mm-hmm. What you should do, because whereas I did that to my buddy Jay, who I ended up, Jay Middleton, I ended up co-writing that little short film with. He hosted for me when I was like, I don't know if I was featuring or headlining.
Yeah.
But I might have been featuring somewhere. And he came off from his hosting, and I gave him the rundown on like, dude, I was like, found out like, oh, are you doing a bunch of work? Yeah. I'm like, okay, well then you need to stop doing this. You need to do this. Da, da, da. I gave him down like, so I'm like, dude, part of it was because he went up and was just cussing and being nasty. Oh. And then I'm going to go up after him. And I'm like, dude, that's not my kind of comedy. So it's going to make me look bad.
Yeah.
So, but in general, if you want to host more, here are things that a good host does. Mm-hmm. And I would recommend you practicing those things.
Yeah.
So I gave him there. But partly because it was making me look bad. But if he was a woman, I probably wouldn't have said anything because I wouldn't have wanted to be accused of mansplaining. I don't want to get accused.
Do you feel like you get accused often, though, or something?
I see other people do, and I'm sure, I have in the past, and I'm like, won't help you. let you die. A guy, it's just easier to roast a guy.
Well,
we roast each other easier.
Yeah, I don't think you have to roast by giving somebody a note. You know, something I often do when talking to anybody anyway is I'll often say, hey, you might already know this, but, or like, please let me know if, because that is one of my biggest pet peeves is I don't like it when, like, if people give advice, that's great, but maybe take a moment to think, hey, does this person already know this? You know?
Yeah. Oh, I knew they didn't. I could tell they didn't. They had never heard it. Yeah. I was like, I think I did go like, hey, do you want any? But I just might not have offered it because I've just, yep.
Sometimes people don't want advice either too, though. Cause I'm thinking when I was in California, it doesn't matter that I was there. I was just, that was the thought that popped in my head. There was a female comedian. She was a couple years ahead in the craft than I was. And she was just telling me basically how many jokes to pack into a 5-minute set or this, that, or the other thing and blah, blah, blah. And she was trying to be really helpful. Mm-hmm. But the thing is, I was focused on something else at the moment in my comedy. So in a way it felt like a little bit annoying. Yeah. But I knew it was coming from a place where she was trying to help me out.
Yeah.
You know?
No, I get that. Because sometimes especially open mics, people don't know what you're working on.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yeah, I know that. I wasn't here for that. I'm trying to getting
I mean,
my
I don't
mouth
know if
around.
I even, I don't know that I even knew that. Like, it wasn't like now I would see like, oh yeah, she was right about blah, blah, blah. But like, I wasn't even at that level yet. You know what I mean?
There's so many people that just don't like advice. Like
Actually,
they want to live in the illusion that they're doing well, or they like what they do, and because they've gotten so a little bit of kudos for it, even if.
or maybe they don't have a growth mindset. You know, maybe they're not as open to constructive feedback too.
There was this guy in my acting class, sort of for in college. We kind of went in at the same time. Maybe he was a year younger. He was a real over the top hammy actor, like just high school. He got a lot of attention, right? And I remember, like, it was all like, it's like, oh my God, I don't want to do this with him. Like, it was just always cringe feeling. And I remember him telling a friend of mine, like, I just don't like this Stanislavski stuff. You know, I like what I do. And we're like, well, yeah, you can like that. But the rest of us watching don't. Like, I mean, it was very, it's kind of like I've told somebody, like, oh, so and so, that comic. Yeah, they're not funny. But they work as a host sometimes. Like, you can put them out there. People will be entertained by them. Your job as a host often doesn't have to be completely hilarious. You're just there to get people's attention focused, and a lot of the times. So they don't need to be funny, but they're a good host. They have a good personality. They're just not particularly a good craftsperson of a joke.
Well, I wonder too, when you were saying typically not doing much crowd work or crowd work, do you think that is because the other comedians might do crowd work and part of their set, so you want them to have that opportunity and or so that the audience doesn't think it's a show they talk back in? A little bit of
Both,
both.
because, well, I was taught your job as a host is not to is to keep is to set the tone for the evening. So if you start doing crowd work, they're gonna think this whole show's crowd work. And what if that a comic you're really had the headliner of the evening, even the feature, if that's their thing, or if they don't like it. That and they're not as good with it. It can make them look bad if the people start talking to them. And second, like, I've been told it is magical. The ability to do crowd work looks like magic. And if you show them the tricks beforehand, it doesn't seem as magical when that
Like what
headliner
kind
does
of
it.
tricks when you come up behind them and show them how to hold their
Yes,
straw and then try
exactly
and
that kind.
like
Also, because, like, what if you go, like, oh, what kind of job you got? What kind of job you got? And then he comes out an hour later and he wasn't listening to your set and he asks the same joke, like, oh, we're doing this again. Okay.
yeah
Yeah. So to for respect of the room and the show, that's one of the rules of it. Like, you also the host can't be the filthiest person doing the show.
Yeah, that's why I never got asked to host.
Yeah,
I'm
right.
just kidding. Obviously, I was hosting.
Yeah.
I love hosting.
Because also, like, I was taught early on by another comic how, like, if you listen to a set, how even a comic themselves will not do their dirtiest joke early. They will save that for later because you got to build to it. So if you build up as high as nasty as you can as the host, you give nothing for everyone else to come into. You kind of
That
can
was
ruin the
an
set.
interesting choice of words to stop on.
What did I stop on?
I'm not gonna say. I was
Oh,
like, obviously, I'm always looking for the joke, and I was like,
yeah. Okay,
yeah.
now I'm catching.
I was like, but it's funny to be talking about comedy today or good because I've been watching Kevin Hart's Funny AF on
Yeah.
Netflix. Oh my gosh, I totally miss doing comedy. I'm like, I want to go do
I
some comedy.
went up last night. I was at
Ah.
Laughs. Got to do a set. It's nice because I did start off telling a story, and I don't. One, it was new, And normally I'm really careful there, but they gave me 6 minutes instead of four from the last time. So I was like, oh, okay. And I had just told somebody and they're like, that's pretty funny. You should tell that on stage. And I went and I was like, but I don't have a punchline. And then I'm like, well, I guess a lot of comics here do jokes without punchlines, really. So or that's
you,
probably
like, get it in. Don't you ever get your punchlines on stage?
Yeah, I thought maybe something would come, but nothing much. And actually, when I was telling Gretchen, I forgot to tell one of the jokes I made on stage. But it was, well, anyway, I told the little story, and then I got into my normal set, and which is nice. They were pretty hot crowd. So, and I was unexpectedly called up to the stage because the first two people before me weren't there.
Oh.
And then suddenly they called me and I was just starting to talk to Dave about something. And so then I had to run up and I was flustered like in the audience. And I was like, oh my God, I'm totally free. And I left my paper at the table. So I didn't remember. And so that was kind of funny to begin with, to start. And so then I just kind of went in with that energy and told it. And then went to my normal stuff. And there's enough new people, mostly new people that I don't know there.
Wow.
Have never heard my jokes, right?
Yeah.
So that is so fun because you got comics laughing because they haven't heard these jokes before.
Yeah.
They didn't see me work them out over 12 years or whatever.
I miss doing comedy, but it's like I can't even imagine what it would be like going to an open mic now, like not knowing anybody, being older, and it's mostly dudes. Like I just yeah. I don't know.
This was a show, like it was a little showcase kind of.
Oh, well, that's great.
So it was a good crowd. And most people are doing all polished stuff, some slipping in some new ones, right? But, okay, but let me tell you, because it happened during the day yesterday. I had to go sit at a house while waiting for repairs to get done because for a house that's closing. And so the smoke alarm was beeping. So it meant the battery had to come out, right? So I went up there, I grabbed the battery, pulled it out, stuck it in my pocket, didn't think about it again. 2.5-3 hours later, I'm sitting there playing chess because I'm fancy.
Yeah.
Playing on Duolingo, right?
Oh, Duolingo.
Right, doing my Duolingo chess, playing there. And my leg starts bothering me. I'm like, ow, sore. Like, that's sore. Ow, it's actually kind of like, put my hand on my pocket. I was like, feels like it's warm. What is that? And I pull, like, that's kind of hot. And like, it's really starting to bother me. I put my hand in and I'm like, damn, I felt like something like burning in there, like hot. And I'm like, what the hell? And so then I reach in, I grab it, and I realize, oh, it's the battery. Like, what? And I pull it out, and it's like it's been sitting in the sun.
Jeez.
For hours, like when my phone gets hot or something. I'm like, what the hell? What is this? This is so hot. Like, this isn't good. So I put it, and I'm like, God, my leg feels like it got burned a little. So I put it in a thing and wrap it up, a little like a wrapper. And then I Google this. To find out, like, it's a little 9-volt battery, right? It says, well, and I said, well, okay, and I was like, in my pocket were keys and a remote control. Did something in here cause this? And it points out, so those connectors at the end, because the 9 volts are the rectangle ones, right? Yeah. So if a piece of metal goes across them, it causes a short.
Oh, geez.
Which can lead to heat, fire. They're considered a fire hazard to do that. Like, if you just leave, apparently 9-volt batteries loose in a junk drawer is known to, like, could be a cause of a fire.
Whoa.
Like, so the thing was going to explode, kind of like explode is like as in like a little combustion, right?
Yeah.
But it would have in my pants. Like I had short circuited and it was heating up, like building up. Like I was really close to a catastrophe. Like it would have just gave me like a level 3 burn. Like, imagine the battery acid blowing up on my leg.
Yeah, that's horrible. I did see your post about today. I learned.
But this is so wild to me. Like, so then I was like, is this common knowledge?
Right.
And that's what I started the set asking. Like, is it common knowledge that you shouldn't have a 9-volt battery?
Is it common knowledge, right?
But most people, I don't think, have 9-volt batteries anyway, right? Like, you wouldn't think of it, and I stuck it in my pocket.
Right.
But I was thinking about that. I just kept, because later on, I was like, it still hurt. Like it was like holding a hot poker to my leg. And I do think there's a chance of a joke out of this all, like chest thing, which was true. But it made me think about when you tell a story, the guy Titus, it's a comedian named Titus, right?
Oh, yeah.
He talks about, you have a story, write out your story. And then after each sentence, you need a joke.
Yeah.
And do just like that. Like, it could be whatever. So it's like, I'm playing the chess because I'm fancy. Right. And then just go to the next line. So what I probably need to do is write this story out and really hone in on a joke, the jokes around it to make it funny. Right.
So, well, maybe in another year or two, I can go to do comedy. I don't know how long it's going to be. If I start writing material now, by the time I'm ready to go, I don't know if any of it will still be applicable. The world might have changed so much.
You need just start writing apocalypse jokes now.
Are there any, like, there's not any Saturday afternoon mics, are there? For other...
There might be, actually, at the Jewel Box. I'll check that. There might be.
Maybe there used to be. Tell me later. Maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. I definitely have some things that would make really good material right now. I said a couple of things the other day that were like, I'm not going to say it on here. I need to save it for a joke, but I was like, if I were still doing stand-up, this would be so great. So that one I actually did write down.
I was thinking I need to start writing down more of the things my Finn says, because they are pretty hilarious.
Oh, yeah.
And like they can be jokes, and I just haven't been in the habit of writing them down. Like, I retell them later.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I got to write these down so I have new material, because kids are... Him talking... should be at least 10 minutes a year. I should be able to have new material from his discussion. Yeah,
it just made me think of the most hilarious thing that my kid said the other day. I was thinking, what are the funny things?
Yeah.
Good Lord, this child, my child.
Is it appropriate?
It wasn't. It was in the sense that, like, it wasn't dirty, but it was inappropriate in the sense it was like, oh my gosh. We were just passing somebody, not in a conversation with them. Not like, you know, we weren't like waiting in line so that she saw them for quite a while or anything like that. You know, we're just passing somebody and she sees the guy and she says, hi, daddy. I was like, Olivia, that is not your dad. She has a dad. She knows who her dad is. So it's just, I'm just humiliated because I'm thinking, what is this guy thinking?
Let me ask you.
Yeah.
What race was the guy?
Okay, fair point. In this instance, he was a similar race. However, she has done that. But she has done that to other men too. She has done that too.
Every black guy was Manny.
Oh, yeah, no. She's done that to other guys, too, where she'll call them daddy. And I'm just like, this is so embarrassing because I don't know what they are thinking this situation is. Like, has it ever happened with a Thor? No. But, you know.
That's a great pickup line with your kid. Go call him daddy.
Oh, my gosh. I just.
And then you could go up and I'm like, I'm sorry that she called you daddy, but later tonight I could.
Yeah, right. Creepy. That is not my thing. I don't understand why that would ever be a thing for people, but I know it is.
Right.
Like other kinds of
it's
stuff.
It's more fun. Sure. I think it's more funny. Even though I know it's a thing, but I'd use it more of a funny context.
Oh, yeah. No, that would be a great joke. I did think, like, yeah, joke structure that works, but I just
Yeah.
I know, it was just so, oh gosh, so embarrassing. And
Yeah. Finn's got more material, but like I said, how I don't know if I told you last. Well, maybe I didn't tell you last. He's starting using phrases, like expressions, that aren't like. But he tries to make it make sense more. So, like the other day when I told him a fact, he read a fact about space, and he said, "Dad, the dwarf planet is da 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 da." Yeah, that totally blew my mind up. But I'm not correcting him because I want him to say that again. Because that is
right, adorable.
Brilliant and adorable. I want him to say expressions wrong. I think that's great.
I'm thinking of, oh gosh. What is the one? I know what it is, and now I'm forgetting. There's an expression she does that I just love. And then I was talking to my mom about how much I love hearing it, so she started doing it more and more emphatically. Oh,
and now at inappropriate times, possibly?
Well, it wasn't inappropriate, but it's like, what the heck is it? Dang it, that's really going to bother me. At some point, maybe I'll come to me and I'll text you, but
yeah,
I feel like it's something like, you've got to be kidding me, or, you know, just some sort of hilarious, like, exclamation.
I would love that. Like, you've got to be kidding me, gosh, mom.
What? Dang it. Ah, it'll come.
Yeah. They are a source of material. Everyone always says that when you have a kid, it's gonna. It's anything that adds to your life in a lot. Suddenly, a lot of things happen to you, in this one topic, truth. Right?
Yeah.
So that's why I think it's dense for material, just like getting married. Or you're in the
and, you know, shared human experiences.
Yeah.
For certain groups of people. Yeah.
But even if you don't have a kid, I think it's just the relating, you know, you can, you gotta.
There's some sort of common knowledge or common experiences that people are like in on it.
I've noticed a thing with a lot of comics that make it that didn't have anything before or aren't nepotism. A comedian who comes from another country does very well. They have a lot of material to talk about because they get to be the stranger in this land that gets to speak about, like, you know, back in my country, and they can explain the way they do things there versus the way that they are here. And it's a very easy to compare them. And it's funny to think about, they notice how weird we are with some things that we wouldn't occur to us.
Right.
And it's even like their setups can be a lot quicker. Into, you don't have to go, you know, I was sitting around thinking the other day. Or like the guy, there's this guy I was listening to, who talks about watching movies. He learned English by reading subtitles.
Mm-hmm.
So he watched American movies. But whenever they did something that used the N-word.
Oh, I think I've heard this bit.
They called it, they would say friend. They would call him friend. And he'd be like, well, some of these movies, I was like, that's not a good friend. I don't know why he's a friend. And then when he moved to the U.S., you know, and with this, thinking that's what it is. And then he thought it was funny that, you know, the show, Friends.
Oh, uh-huh.
But there were no friends on the show.
Right. Yeah, that's really funny.
And he's very confused by some of it.
That's funny.
Yeah. But I'm like, it's just such an easy outsider perspective.
Right.
To come in and have a different language and everything. So, I think a lot of my comedy will talk about, I think it comes from a space of being multiracial.
Mm-hmm.
Because I always feel outside of everybody. And so I had a different experience than a lot of people who are.
Right. I just think it's good that you don't feel like you're inside of everybody.
unless it's a Friday night.
Yeah. You know, Silas, I just, like, you can tell I've been looking for jokes more now, just because I've been watching.
Or you've been reading some trashy romance novels.
I haven't been, I don't know if I've ever read a trashy romance novel.
Are there non-trashy?
Well, I mean, I don't think A Court of Thorns and Roses is a trashy romance novel.
I don't even know what that is.
It's got spicy stuff in it, but it's, like, really well written.
It's well written, smut.
But I don't know, but, like, calling it, there's a whole debate about whether or not, like, about that topic, about what? Calling something smut that has, like, literary
juice
value to it. No, it has literally, like, it's not like the whole book. I don't know. It's like, how many was it, like, 6 books, 400, 500 pages each? I don't know. There's, like, a lot of pages of books, right?
Yeah.
And of those pages, the, like, spicy material is, I don't know what, like, 2% of the book or, like, 4%. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You know, just chalk the whole thing up to that. But there's all the layers of, like, emotions and relationships and
what makes
all
a movie
of this stuff.
But what makes a movie, or sorry, what makes a book literarily better?
Well, I am not the best person to ask because I don't have a lot of source material. I don't have a lot of materials to go, like, I've read this.
You have a master's degree.
Yes, but when you're asking me to speak on a certain topic, like, I haven't read, how many books have I read that could fit into this? The category that you're speaking about.
The trashy romance?
Yeah, I don't, like, that wasn't a trashy romance book. I think of trashy.
How do you know it wasn't then, if you didn't read the trashy romance? Maybe all romance is trashy by nature.
That's just a very male view.
I'll have Gretchen send you links.
Does Gretchen...
She, ever since the surgery, we were talking about this last night, like a year before the surgery, after she got diagnosed, she couldn't read anything heavy anymore.
Oh, no, it makes sense.
So she's been reading trashy, it's ranged between trashy smut romance novels and sometimes just romance, like hockey romance. Someone got into some hockey romance novels.
Oh, I want to watch that hockey show. Yeah. I heard everybody
I haven't seen it yet, though.
Was it something?
But that's a whole genre.
Heated Rivalry, right? Yeah. I need to watch that. I heard it was really
It's a
good.
Whole genre, but it doesn't have to all, like, Heated Rivalry is male romance.
I think of like those books with, like, it used to have, like, a Fabio cover on it or something like that, where I don't think that he ever, I would not, bless his heart, right? So, I mean, I say bless his heart, stay away from me. That's what
you
I
wouldn't
mean.
Let him teach you pickleball?
Exactly. Okay. Oh my gosh, that's a big thing. Who is Samantha going to let teach her pickleball? You guys, you're going to have to stay tuned to find out on the next episodes. And, like, who is it going to be? That's pretty
funny. Are they pickleball teacher worthy?
Yeah, exactly. That is another thing to consider, you know, in my list of many requirements and requests. But I would think of those sorts of books where it is, like, not a ton on character development and it's more just, like, light and fluffy. But whether or not I would call it smut, I don't know. What is really the definition of smut anyway? I think of smut as being more, like, degrading and dirty. Like, would smut be more like, what, are you going to look up what the definition
is? Yeah. Now I'm like, is it obscene? It's not obscenity, right?
Well, I think of it as being, like, a little bit more obscene, or, like, you're just in it for that the titillating experience of it, right? Whereas these other books where if you took out those scenes, would the book still be worth reading? I suppose you could look at it like that.
Smut refers to sexually explicit, indecent, or pornographic material. Books, pictures, stories, often described in literature as steamy or highly erotic scenes. It's commonly used informally to describe content focused on sexual activity.
Yeah.
Historically, it meant soot or dirty mark, with synonyms, including pornography.
I haven't been reading books about... Yes. Oh, yes. I forgot about the series I read about the chimney sweeps. I forgot about those. No, I haven't read them. And the coal miners. No. I think I stumbled upon it. Mary That's Poppins. What I think it is. I think... Yeah, Mary Poppins. No, I think if Julie Andrews is in it, no. I think... That's what it is, Silas. If you take out those scenes or those pages, those, you know, if you take out that text, is the book still worth reading? Would somebody still read the book without that text? And so for that series, I was reading like 100%, absolutely. Like there's so much wonderful character development, worlds building, all this stuff. And like, yeah, those scenes were pretty awesome. Some of them I wasn't into.
Gretchen says she never... Some of the metaphors that they would use, she said she had never heard before.
I mean, some of the, I will admit, like some of the descriptions and stuff, was it on this book? There was another book. Oh gosh, I remember I did read 50 Shades of Grey. I did read that series. And like... I just, honestly, it was not for me. And I would get bored and I would be like, oh, this isn't even like erotic. It was just, for me, I was just, I didn't like how it was described. I didn't like what was going on. And I was like, let's get to the rest of the plot. What happens? Does what happen in the story, is it what I think is going to happen? And yeah, I don't know. But yeah, some of the descriptions and stuff I'm not into, and some of it is good. But I think it depends. but also the view of that stuff can actually be fairly misogynistic.
The what?
The view of that stuff can actually be somewhat misogynistic. I've learned, I've listened to on my podcasts that calling like books that women enjoy, literature women enjoy, smut. Where some of it is like...
But if it is smut.
But some of it's not. But that's the thing. Like just lumping in everything where there is like scene... that women might be like, oh, that sounds great. And then be like, that book is smut. It's like, no, a-hole. You just can't do X.
Hey, for some people, one smutty scene takes away from the whole book. And they'll put it down.
Well, yeah, but I think the definition as to whether or not something is smutty for me. You know what? I think it's just like in real life, honestly. For me, it's like how much emotional investment is in it? Like, what's going on? Like, what kind of... What is there any intimacy happening right here, or is it just like, is it, you know, what's going on? I think it's a little bit more layered, and I'd be curious what the other ladies think. I think too, like when you're watching a movie, you can tell the difference. Like if you see a movie and there's a scene that's going on, sometimes it's TMI in the scene. Sometimes though, sometimes it just fits in with the story. Like I'm thinking of Bridgerton. Right? Like, would you say that was a smutty series? You haven't seen it?
No.
What? It's not okay, the last season of Bridgerton was my favorite. The last season was my favorite, but I wouldn't call it a smutty series. Like, some of the stuff that, like, some of the scenes in it, did I feel like it was a little bit more than I needed to see? Yeah.
Oh. Like, that's the first thing that's made me want to check it out.
Exactly. I'm like, Silas, it's like you like theater and your dude. I just think you would probably...
Yeah.
Like, it's Gretchen seen it?
I don't know. That.
Why didn't
she
watch Bridgerton? You guys should watch Bridgerton together.
Maybe she would. It's not a time period that I care about much.
Well, it's interesting.
Yeah. That's what made me not turn it in. I'm sure, you know what? I had no interest in watching Game of Thrones until somebody who I respected.
Okay.
Someone I respected their taste in sci-fi fantasy stuff. They were also a huge Buffy fan and they liked it. So I was like, you know what? I'll give it a try.
Yeah.
And then I loved it.
Right,
but I had no interest. Would you whatsoever.
Call it smut? Would you call Game of Thrones smutty?
Oh my god, yes.
See, that's so funny. I wouldn't call it smutty.
There's some nasty.
Oh, stuff there was there. No, 100%. There was some nasty stuff, but the reason why I wouldn't call it smutty is because I felt like there was such a high level of artistry that was put into the series that even if you took that crap out, I still would have watched and enjoyed the series. But yes, there definitely was stuff that was like, boy, I thought I would have wanted to be an actor in the series. I guess not. like that's not going to do that on camera. Like, there's just not.
Yeah.
You know? Ugh. Oh, man.
Wait, had you read the books?
Oh, no, I haven't read the books. But I think I watched the series like twice or three times.
What made you, what would you have said you would, why would you have wanted to be in it at all?
Why would I have wanted to be in it?
Yeah.
There were like some really great acting roles, of course.
Well, it's the trade-off, right? Get a great acting role, but also this is going to be part of it too.
No.
For a lot of them. For a lot of the roles in there.
Yeah, I know, but that's why they didn't cast me, which was fortunate, but also they could have got a body double or something. I just wouldn't have done that. No.
Yeah, I mean, they did for after the first season.
I think, but I mean, the downside is like, people still would think that was you, people who didn't know that that was a body double. So it'd still be kind of.
But if it's not, if you know it's not, right?
Yeah. But like the weirdos out there, you know.
There's a lot of scenes out there that people thought they were seeing someone and turned out, nope, it's not even their butt. That's someone else's butt.
Right, that's one I was thinking of. Well, I don't know. Was it the same one? I was thinking of the shame scene. Wasn't that?
I was thinking different movies. Different movies.
Different one, yeah.
I don't know if she did.
I think she got a body double for that.
Oh.
I don't know that I could watch Game of Thrones now, though. I'm like more sensitive to what I can watch.
Since your time with dragons.
Yeah, since my time with dragons. You gotta love a good dragon.
We're running over here. Okay, so pickleball. From pickleball to 9-volt batteries.
But
pickleball. I mean, if any sport is smutty, it's probably something called pickleball. Hide the pickle.
I'm not doing a tag because we are on the air right now.
All right, black and
ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to the longest running comedy podcast in Seattle, probably. Yes, this is Black and a Half, hosted by Silas Lindenstein and Samantha Rund. Black and a Half.